integrative health info at its best. It's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science with Dr. Decker Weiss, Dr. Holly Lucille, and Lisa Davis.
Hello, hello, hello. Dr. Holly Lucille is off on vacation. Lisa Davis is with me as always today. And we are talking about the family fitness craze. Do they really sell fried Coke at state fairs and county fairs and local fairs around the country? Unfortunately, I have actually seen it for myself, Lisa. I have seen where they take the Coke syrup, they roll it in some crumbs, fry it, and they serve it, and people eat it. And when I use that example of how bad food has gotten.
And, that is so scary. You know, I was sitting here thinking, I don't understand how they fry Coca-Cola. I'm like picturing the liquid. I didn't.
We can't do math,
but
we know how to fry Coke.
It's disgusting either way.
I just don't get it. And they fry Twinkies. They fry Snickers.
Yes, they do.
They fry that. But the evolutionary step to the frying of actual Coca-Cola was, I think, a leap in technology for bad food. That's just an example of how bad things have gotten. And we laugh, but we laugh because we're scared. We laugh because we're nervous, right?
It's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely horrified. It's just insane.
Yeah, I call it, Lisa, how do you, I've always phrased it, food-like substances is what a lot
exactly.
of people are eating.
Exactly. I call it fake food.
Fake food? Okay.
I say fake food, yeah.
Like
if you go to a convenience store, there's no real food because there's no nutritional value. There's a lot of chemicals and preservatives and additives. And there's like very, maybe a minuscule amount of something actually real that was once real that has basically been destroyed. Right?
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things I'm glad we are going to talk with experts, but it's we've got to teach people on limited budgets how to eat healthy because unfortunately, what's happened is the stuff without the chemicals is three times more than the stuff with the chemicals. And you think economically, my God, this is a disaster. And where, you know, our food is so subsidized that a burger, fries, and a Coke because of the subsidized government money is cheaper than organic grapes. Something's terribly wrong, right? Something's terribly wrong.
Well, I think it's about education too, though, because you can get, like, I buy all my grains in bulk. And beans in bulk, that's pretty darn cheap. I mean, if you're going to go to the health food store, okay, if you're going to go Whole Foods or something, and I love Whole Foods, I practically live there. But if you're going to go there and you're going to go get all their specialty items and everything's organic, yeah, you're going to spend a fortune. But if you go to the bulk section and get a bunch of rice and quinoa and wheat berries or whatever you like to eat and get a bunch of beans, you're not going to spend that much money.
Yeah, and there is
right?
a solution
So isn't it a question
there.
Of education?
Oh, I absolutely.
I think
it's a question
so.
Of education, and it's a question of motivation as well.
Yes.
People find the cheapest way to repair their car. They'll find the cheapest way to do that. Well, upkeep on the human body can be inexpensive. You got to get a little creative. And one of the things that I always advocate for my patients are like these greengrocers, these co-ops that I would get every Monday a box in my office of absolutely fresh greens. And I didn't have to.
Yeah,
I didn't
love
And I bet that they have that throughout the country because, you know, all my friends use it. But I actually had a service for my patients to sign up with, and it was like $25 a month, and they would get a box of whatever they were harvesting. So they didn't always get spinach. They didn't always get romaine or whatever, but they got whatever was organically harvesting that day.
Mm-hmm. It makes so much sense. And when you eat it fresh and you taste it, it's just incredible. I've been wanting to do that. But, you know, one of the people that I'm a big fan of is David Kessler. He wrote this great book called The End of Overeating, and he really talks about how fat, salt, and sugar alter brain chemistry, and that the scientists know this. And
to me,
I mean, it's just hard because it's like it's on so many levels. But he was even talking about not just fast food, but like sort of family chain restaurants, the amount of stuff they actually inject into the chicken, not just hormones, but all kinds of stuff. I mean, I won't even eat a salad at one of those places after interviewing him and talking with him. It's pretty scary.
I remember when my in-laws first came over from Europe, they're like, oh my God, look how big that chicken breast is. And just the shape of the food and how it looked. And then they would taste it and go, it's weird. It doesn't have any taste. And they kind of liked it because they could spice it more how they wanted. They didn't have to take the flavor of the native grasses out of it or whatever. But I'd watch them go through that learning curve on American food. but it is spooky. And one of the things that, that I always advocate for my patients is something called the precautionary principle. And that is, you know, it's not just all the sugar, it's all the chemicals. And we used to say about chemicals in food that you had to prove it was safe. And when you proved it was safe, it could go into the food. Now it's different. Now you have to prove it's dangerous. So a bunch of people out there eating these chemicals that haven't been tested, they've been tested enough separately, and they definitely haven't been tested together in a meal and in the amounts that they're ingesting in it. So you have these people that are there, and they need to understand that our government laws do not use the precautionary principle anymore. These chemicals that are in these foods are not tested safe in order to get into our food. Europe is the opposite. They still utilize the precautionary principle. And it's just, my God, they're approving antidepressants for kids now. The amount of kids with depression and what's going on with the guns and the shootings, their chemistry is so unreliable. You don't know what you're getting with these kids. And we're not giving our kids a shot, right?
Yeah, no, it's true. I just think that we've got to get away from the fake food. And luckily, you know, we're going to have experts talking about this, and we are experts ourselves. And I think that it's so important. I mean, just go to the store and buy a flipping apple. I mean, if you can't get organic, then just wash it really well. Right. I mean, I think what happens is that people see, well, oh, you have to eat everything organic and there's so much pressure. No, mm-hmm. just eat some fruits and vegetables and buy some beans. I mean, that's what I do.
It can be more simple, and we have overcomplicated it to the point where we think that like a bottle of Ensure is healthier than a couple apples. It's not.
Oh, gosh. It's not.
And we need to make sure that people, there's so much just confusion there. And obesity, especially in families, do you have some statistics there for us?
Yeah, according to the American Heart and the American Stroke Association, this is in 2012, among children ages 2 to 19, about 1 in 3 are overweight and obese, 32.1% of all boys and 31.3% of all girls.
And the self-esteem that goes with it. And then the things that they're eating to get overweight contain all these chemicals. So it's not that they're just overweight, they're toxic. And their endocrine system is getting all sorts of weird messages because of these toxins. Their thyroids are up and down. Their estrogens are up and down. They have rashes. They do this while they're trying to get older, right? They're trying to start their periods, and the boys are trying to start to grow facial hair. During those key times, they are getting exposed to so many chemicals. We see the obesity.
Well, all that's happening earlier now. Well, everything's happening earlier now. I just read that boys now are going into puberty 2 years younger. I see 9-year-old girls who are already developed. It wasn't like, I mean, there was a couple. I remember when I was growing up, and I was a late bloomer, and I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio. I didn't get my period till I was 15. I thought I was some kind of freak, okay? So it can go both ways, but there was only a few girls here and there I knew who were like 9 or 10 and starting to develop. Most of them were like, you know, 12, 13, 14. But now they're saying it's not unusual, and they're saying it's because of the hormones and foods and the chemicals. I mean, isn't this something that you've been reading about and seeing in your own practice?
Oh my God, yeah, and with my kids. I have a 22-year-old, and when she was 11 and 12, she didn't have her period. She was in pigtails. She's playing with dolls still. These girls were Shauna didn't have any desire to have to wake up and put lipstick on, and she didn't, none of that stuff came. And I like to prolong their childhood a little bit. I mean, I'm not talking to 15, 16, whatever, but I like them to have a full 11, 12, 13 years to be a little girl, to do that kind of stuff.
I completely agree. And so that's a whole nother topic we definitely have to touch on.
Oh, we do. And there's so many great experts.
Way too fast to grow up.
Oh, yeah. I have a 3-year-old. Let's get that solved in about 10 years, can we? I don't want to have to go through. Let's figure out how to make it simple for Dr. Weiss as he gets older with his 3-year-old. Well, we are talking about the family fitness craze here at Radio MD. There's a great blog at radiomd.com that I wrote about a patient who I took through a big detox and things like that. It was a very special patient case who's doing well. And that blog is available again at radiomd.com, as is all of our segments are available at radiomd.com. Again, Dr. Holly's on vacation, but we're going to fill in the best we can.